Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Like I say all the time, understanding has come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Insight has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we studied the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon describes some people as fools. And I find, the people that are real fools, who don't have any understanding by faith. You know what Paul said at the book of Hebrews? We are told that by faith we understand. If you want to know who is foolish, it's somebody who faith is not telling anything. Every decision, every judgment is made by sight. It's by faith that you are supposed to understand. If you look at the country, it is what faith is telling you that is important. It's not what the newspapers are telling you. If you look at your life, you look at your family, you look at your career, you look at your future, you look at your destiny, it is not what things are telling you. It is what faith is telling you. He said, by faith we understand. That's Hebrews chapter 11. By faith we understand. Understanding comes to us by faith. Spiritually speaking, the fool is the person who faith is not talking to. When Solomon was talking about those who are fools, he was referring to those who don't have understanding about life. Who just wake up in the morning, just go about, they are buying and selling, they don't know how to do accounting. You understand? They don't know the principles of life. Those are the people he called fools. Then the ones he called wise were those who were schooled, who had understanding. But the spiritual aspect, wisdom is only when you have understood the word of God. So who are those who are fools, spiritually speaking? They are the people that faith is not talking to. You are getting my point. They want to make predictions concerning their children. Say, the way I've been looking at this boy. Everything you tell him, he forgets. This boy can never do well. It's his own child. Say, this one is too scattered. He can never go far. You look at this boy. You know these women, they don't know how to handle money. And you're talking about your wife. Prophetic utterance. Be it unto you according to your words. As I have heard you say in my hearing, that's what God said. That's it. People don't realize it. So you look at your children, you look at the child and say, what is faith telling you about this child? That's what matters. That's what you are supposed to believe. He said, by faith we understand. The person who's walking wisely is the fellow who faith is talking to. Let me just ask you before you sit down. What is faith telling you about your life? What is faith telling you about your health? What's faith telling you about your destiny? What's faith telling you about your children? What is faith telling you about your country? The problem in Nigeria right now is not people who are stealing money. It's Christians who are not operating by anything that faith is telling them. That is the word of God, I've told you. That's not a joke. The problem with this country is not the people who are stealing money. It's not bad governance. That's not the problem. It is Christians who faith is telling nothing. Every opinion they hold is the same one you hear in Beer Palace. That's how you know you don't believe anything. I don't care whether you're a man of God. If I tune to Radio Biafra, and what you are saying is what they are saying, you are talking foolishly. If I buy Guardian, and your interpretation of the destiny of the nation is exactly what's inside the Guardian, especially when it is negative. If it's a positive side, I'll say maybe they are walking by faith. Then you are walking foolishly. If everything you are saying about life is what the fellow on your left and your right are saying, then you are walking foolishly. Because faith must give you what? Understanding. The Bible says, by faith we understand. That's what marks Christians out. It's not by science we understand. And let me tell you something. Solomon said, I have more understanding than my teachers. Because your testimonies are my meditation. Me, I've had practical testimonies of that in my own life. Naturally speaking, I studied the sciences that make you a medically qualified person. And I took it to advanced level. I ended up reading, I'll be laughing. I'll read some things, I said, this thing is a lie. They said, do you know, have you done your own research? I said, this is not what the word of God says. I said, you are talking as if life, one day, nothing was going on the highway of nothing, near to the corner of nothing, you know, in the district of nothing. And then nothing happened to nothing, and everything appeared. They call it the Big Bang. I said, no, I can't believe that. So when you're interpreting life, it's as if everything is an accident. So it's behind everything interpretation. So anytime I see interpretation like these things are accident, I say it's a lie. Why? The word of God has given me understanding. I know the earth was created. So there's a creator, there's a design. When I'm teaching my students, I say something, they laugh anytime I want. In fact, some of them, they cross it with me. When I want to explain something, I tell them about the infinite wisdom of God, his everlasting kindness, and his eternal mercies. I said, he puts everything together, and that's why it's like this. I said, that's why your body heals. That's why you injure yourself. You expect the wound to close after a few days. You are getting what I'm saying? I said, yeah. I said, that is because there's a design. Now, because of that, I interpret the events of life differently. Faith gives me what? Understanding. And many of you have seen, I will tell this thing is not true. Then after a long time, they say, okay, they have found out that it is not like they used to say. The world's oldest woman died a few days ago. Less than 2 weeks ago, she died. And they said she hated vegetables and hated fruits. Did you hear what I said? She hated what? Vegetables and hated fruits. What did she used to eat? Those things that they said will kill you. The woman used to eat meat, plenty of it, eggs, and pasta. No, macaroni, spaghetti. So that's what she liked. Fruits, no, she didn't like it. And she lived to be the world's oldest person. 117 years old was she when she died. If I tell many of you this, you'll be surprised. It has not been shown that jogging makes you live longer, even medically speaking. But you don't realize it. You believe it. A footballer dropped dead the other day. Feet, and then he dropped dead. Look, you know, one time I read, I laugh. You know why? Because for a long time, faith had given me understanding. I realized that long life is a gift of God. There are spiritual principles that connect with long life. God didn't say, thou shalt roast thy lamb well, then shall be well with thee in the land. He didn't say so. That you dwell long. No, say, honor your father and your mother. That means long life is not what you eat. It is who you honor.
Yeah.
Listen, faith gives understanding. That's why, look, why did I get into the apostle? I was trying to say, we declared that we are, you know, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. That understanding of faith comes to you again today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that you will not walk blindly.
Amen.
And listen, what you believe, what the word of God produces as expectation in your life, it will never disappoint.
Amen.
That's not the word hope. Hope is that you interact with God's word, it produces an expectation. That's hope. You interact with the word of God, it produces an expectation. And I'm saying to you again today, it will not disappoint you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Faith will give you understanding again this evening.
Amen.
By faith, you will understand.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith will fill you with the knowledge of his will.
Amen.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
Amen.
You will please him in all respects.
Amen.
You will bear fruit in every good work.
Amen.
And you will increase in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Let's take our seats and continue learning how to pray and how to form a habit of prayer. Do you know why we believe a lot of those funny things we believe? It's the principle of propaganda. What do I mean by principle of propaganda? If they keep on telling somebody something, if you keep hearing it, no matter how stupid it is, after a long time, people will start believing it. Yeah, that's it. Just keep repeating something. Just keep repeating it. That all these things around you came out of nothing. Nothing was on the road one day and was going nowhere. Okay, sorry, nothing was on no road. I was going nowhere. And nothing was happening. And then suddenly, nothing did not hit nothing. And then the process of nothing happening, nothing suddenly exploded. It formed the whole universe. Do you know what? Adults believe it. It's so ridiculous, but adults believe it. Why? They hear it again and again and again. They say, after that, nothing exploded with a great force. Very great was the force of explosion that formed the stars. Then after billions of years, the stars said, we are tired of being gases. They coalesced and became rocks. And the rocks gathered and formed something like the earth. And then the things on the rocks on the earth started shaking against each other. And there was water from somewhere. Where did the water come from? Because when the gases that exploded at the beginning of nothing mixed with each other, they agitated themselves so much, they began to form different atoms. Then one of them combined and then became oxygen. Oxygen combined with one of the basic ones and became water. And the water condensed around the earth alone. Because they have not found water anywhere else. Where people are living, they find them on asteroids and all of that. A lot of them conjectures. Then one day, gas formed around our earth. Why did it happen? No reason. No reason. They just felt like happened. They didn't feel like happened. They just happened. And then one day, some atoms combined and they learned how to combine. Who taught them? Nothing. There's no need to learn. It just happened. Then they became DNA and they replicate each other regularly. And then one day, finally, all this nothing began to work, began to think, and began to teach each other and lie to themselves that there is a God. And that is how God came into existence. It sounds ridiculous, but this is exactly what is taught today. It sounds ridiculous, right? But that's exactly what's being taught. It's the foundation of science. Well, it's not really the foundation. The real foundation has been covered up. Those who started science didn't think like that. If you thought like that, that would mean there is no order. Science tries to seek the order in things. So those who think like that could not have looked for order because there would be no order. The complexity of life, that complexity alone lets me know that these things could not have happened by chance. It couldn't have happened by chance. Once I gave an illustration, I don't know whether I was here, I was teaching some students. I said, imagine a building collapses or there was an earthquake and you find a human being that died. Maybe after you're digging the rubble, you find a human being that died who had been cut into 5 equal parts and the head and the other parts kept equal distance from each other, neatly arranged. Now, a building collapses. Will people die inside? Yes. Earthquake happens, people die? Yes. But you find that order inside or under a rubble of a building that collapsed. Instantly, police starts investigating murder before the earthquake. Because they know this could not have been a result of earthquake. Why? This is too well arranged. Yet the same people tell me that I should believe that the order in my life is a game of chance. Who's fooling who? But why do people believe it? That's what I'm talking about it. They tell them again and again and again. It is repeated all the time. Children grow up hearing only that. Adults hear it when they're in elementary school, secondary school, university. They get degrees on the nothingness of the origin of things. And then the man now comes with a title professor. And thank God I work in the academic sector. And I know being a professor does not say anything about your intelligence. No. It says zero. If you have somebody who is a professor of medicine, don't let it fool you that he's a good doctor. Why? Those who work hard at treating patients, you are as slow as becoming professors. You are promoted upon the number of papers you write and push out, not on how good you are at caring for patients. What happens is a matter of fact. Yet a man who knows nothing takes a title professor and comes out. This is an interesting part. He speaks about what he doesn't know. There's a professor I knew was a professor in medical field. I was going around speaking on diet. I was pinching people. I said, this person is not a professor of diet. But people don't know. You just say, he'll get up. He said, today, let's welcome Professor Okemute. He's going to speak to us on how to maintain our engine. You know, when you hear Professor Okemute speaking on how to maintain our engine, you instantly think he's a professor of, you know, automotive engineering. You won't know he's a theology professor. Who only knows how to maintain his Bible? You now come and say, when you wake up in the morning, pour un vegetable oil, two cups, mix it with your petrol before you start your car. And CVMS will just faint where it is. Who they will say, what is going on here? He said, you call this person a professor? He said, he's a theology professor. I don't know, honestly, I still have those kind of things. And people will pay, now that's why I'm talking about all of this. People will pay attention. And they pay attention. And you know what's happening? Their faith is disappearing daily. So it's somebody who doesn't know anything, we say, if you eat egg, you will die. The man will get home and tell the children, no egg eating in this house. So before they eat egg, before they start eating, did you fry egg? Quarrel between husband and wife on egg. Why? One joker who doesn't believe in God came and told them in church that don't eat egg. He said, when you want to eat meat, make sure it is white meat. Because red meat causes problems. No medical publication to support it. 90% of the population believes what I've just told you. They don't know it has no support. You see, lean meat is good for your soul. The Bible said they used to kill fatted calf. Is that what's your Bible? That's why I don't believe in that. The Bible says the fatted one that is good. I will not this one you're saving me. They killed the fatted calf. I ain't eating any limit. Give me the fatted calf. It's in my bed. It's true. That is what is in the scriptures. Fatted calf. Now tell you, when Naaman trek from the north to the south, it's good for you. Naaman is feeling angry with everybody. You know, say, I mean, why Jesus said, collect the food, close your eyes, and do what? Give thanks. If you do that, the food is sanctified. We spend all the time listening to the other side. Our faith disappears. When an average person picks his food, you know the one they now do that they call calorie counting. I like Derek Prince. Derek Prince said all of these things are doctrines of demons. I always like to quote Derek Prince so that they won't say I'm the one that said it. Derek Prince said, they said that drink this one, that I drank carrot juice until I turned yellow. It's all these diet fads, they are doctrines of the demons. That's what he said. And I believe him. Food, they visit you, they serve food. The person just, thank God for food. He has an app that tells him how many calories is in the food. Listen to me, science, even research is now showing that people like that usually die earlier. What I told you is not a joke. It's been shown that those who adhere strictly to those regimens, all right, they have it's not much. The difference is not much. But they have a slightly higher chance of dying earlier. If the average age of death for those who don't adhere is, let's say, 65, those people are like 64.2, which shows that they have no advantage. Yet people are going about calorie counting. It's not like what you see there. They are looking unhealthy. One of my friends told me that he went abroad, went to visit his sister. He said, Banky, her children were anemic. He said, they don't eat well. In America, it's not possible not to eat well in America unless you have a mental problem or something. Because food is so available. That's everybody that goes to America, except they are particularly disciplined. They always add weight. He said, my sister's children were anemic. I said, what happened? He says she's eating organic this, don't eat that. Meanwhile, God said, sit down, receive things with thanksgiving. They will be a blessing to your life. Listen, that's why many of you know me for a long time. All of this is me, they don't worry me. They say don't eat red meat. I carry red paint, pour on top of my meat before I eat it. If I don't eat something, it's just because I don't like it. Or the thing is very unnatural, that this is not good. You know, there are things that, for example, now, have you ever tried cooking with, spare grass, yes. Spare grass. You've not tried cooking with spare grass? Thank you, because it's not doable. These are the kind of things I don't eat. Now, please, what am I talking about this? Why do people love this? It's what they focus on. They focus so much, and listen, what you focus on, listen, it's not innocent. These things are combating. They are spiritual things, though. They focus on those negative things so much. When they eat their food is now poison to their system. Literally poison. But if we had done the right things, which is focusing on God's word, that's what I'm talking about. That's where my preaching is going, actually. Let me tell you what it is. Let's open our Bibles, all right? I want to quickly bring out something. This is why I began all of this. Let's go to that book of Matthew, which we all know very well. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. He said from let me just start from verse 9. He said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Now, this way I want verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Now, please note that verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it has been predetermined or recorded in heaven. And I pray the other one, give us this daily bread and all of that. Please, just let's stop in that verse 10. Now, this is what God, listen to this. So, this is actually what the Lord is doing. And that's what prayer is about. We have established that he said, men ought always to pray. Prayer must be what? A habit. It must be a continual thing. Prayer, he said, be devoted to prayer. Praying is something you do all the time. Last time I explained that my son gave me a report about his exam, and without realizing it, I gave him a response. I just said, the Lord will show you favor. And I didn't even think about it until I entered into the room, and my wife was listening to the conversation, and she now pointed out what I said to him. I did not know I had prayed, that this prayer had become what? A habit in that particular scenario. And therefore, that's what life is about. The Lord wants us to make prayer a habit. Praying is a habit. Now, Jesus was teaching us how to pray here. One of the things he told us is to say, your will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That is, what he is doing is converting that which he wrote in the realm of the spirit, okay, into existence through our prayers. And this prayer is a habit. For example, we now get to the matter of food. When God wants to give us health, one of the ways he passes health into our system is through our food. You take from the Lord Jesus an example there. He always prayed about his food with thanksgiving. The prayer was always a prayer of thanksgiving. What is that doing? That is creating that which exists in the realm of the spirit into reality, physically speaking now. What am I saying? So, what the world tries to do is to focus us on things that are wrong. And when we say wrong now, they are not in line with what the Lord said. They are not in line with the recorded will of God. The things that are expressed to us. They focus on it all the time. They make you panic, you know. They tell you that, there's a cult now. I mean, they didn't call it a cult. I'm the one calling it a cult. Worshipping the environment. Everything is about the environment. Environment will spoil. Environment will finish. Water is about to finish. Why? We are too many on the earth. Fresh water is going to finish. There will be no water for us again. So what do? Learn to conserve water. So they actually advocate that you should stop eating meat. I'm not joking. These are things I read in maybe like Newsweek. That we shouldn't eat meat. Beef. All right? Beef. Why? The concept is to reduce the demand for beef. Yeah, maybe you should go and eat fish. Now, the reason is that fish is already swimming inside the ocean. That's not they will soon find a problem with that later, but let's just start with this one. And this is the issue about it. They calculated the amount of water needed to produce 1 kilogram of beef. And they will show you the number of, maybe the thousands of liters of water. And this is Nama, that this cow drinks fresh water. And they say fresh water will finish. So if each cow has to drink this amount of gallons of water over a lifetime before you slaughter it, that shows the amount of water that will finish in the environment. So if you just stop eating meat, this amount of water you will save for the environment. I was reading it, I couldn't believe my ears or my eyes. That you mean adults wrote this? And let me tell you, the more they talk about it, the more people start believing, no matter how ridiculous it is. I wanted to subscribe to The Economist, you know, there was a time because I like the articles, very, very, you know, insightful. Just before I subscribed, so I could be reading the full magazine every week it will come out, I read an article. By the time these people finished, they wrote a good article, thoroughly, apparently well-researched article on why legalizing prostitution is good. I don't know whether it's the same Economist or Time magazine. I read, they gave you the life of four prostitutes, how their lives were so decent. One of them, a married woman. So she goes to work in Vegas as a prostitute for a week and comes home on weekends. Look, I'm telling you, they wrote it very nicely. I read through it, and what was it? They are trying to introduce to you that what is wrong with prostitution. An adult wants to do it. Why not? Another one wrote, and I'm telling you, this thing I'm telling you, they're in big magazines. They wrote a detailed article on why. They started by telling a story about a man who met his daughter when she was 18. They didn't live together from the time she divorced the mother early, you understand. So they finally reunited by the time she was 18. And according to her, it was love at first sight. And this man started sleeping with this girl. They had a relationship, a sexual relationship. And by the time writing this article, it had been going on for like 2 or 3 years. And the article was how loving the man is, how compatible they are, and after what is wrong with it. And they coined a new word for it. I don't want to tell you the word so as not to popularize it in your mind. That is not make it, I don't want to poison your thoughts. But the word is a line play of words. They took some words, but they are going to repeat it enough until people start believing that what's the big deal. Why am I saying that? I gave these two stories to let you know what Satanism tries to do. They push it in your face. I brought those two stories to let you know that. You see how ridiculous. How can some? But they started in the story. They repeat it again and again. By the time they repeat it for a generation, children born reading those stories will become adults with those things normal. They become legislators one day. They will vote to legalize prostitution, vote to legalize incest, vote to legalize mother marrying son marrying mother, daughter marrying father. Why? They hear it all the time. The water one. They started like that. Worshipping the environment. They tell you the story again and again and again and again. And they throw fear into your life. That's it. The environment is going to die. So you now see Christians go, people, not Christians, going around not eating beef. Why? Somebody taught them to be afraid for the environment because God is so stupid. Oh no, there's no God. That's it. I mean, only a person that exists that can be stupid, right? There's no God. So the water that formed by accident is not enough. I try to remember when I was in secondary school that water moves in a cycle. Water is not destroyed. Even if you use it for power generation, it goes up as steam, condenses and falls back on the earth. So what are they trying to do? Please, I'm going somewhere. Their will, that's what I'm talking about. God wants his perfect will to be done. Now, that which he created in the realm of the spirit, which he wrote down that he wants to bring into existence, he says, for it to come into existence, it has to be a prayer point. It is a prayer point. That's why he gave it to us. If it was not a prayer point, all of those things would not happen. So what Satan tries to do is to distract us. We start looking at other things. Pastors come to church, and what are they preaching about? Not the word of God now, but diet. They come to church, not the word of God. I mean, this last MMM thing, pastors, all the iCharities, MMM, partner with you, you know, like I said, a fool and his money is quickly separated, even if he's a pastor. Are you getting my point? You know, they came to church and pastors were taking the time that they were supposed to use to execute or establish the will of God in the heart of the people of God on how they can make quick money. One day, a pastor sent a message out into a chat group that my wife belongs to. And if you want quick money, somebody turn 1,000 naira to 15,000 in 2 months. If you want to know more about it, ask me. My wife said, let me tell you more about it. I helped her too. I supplied some scriptures. She downloaded like 10 scriptures on quick gain. And said, man of God, this is what God says about quick money. How it works from 1,000 to 15,000 in 2 weeks is not my business. All I know, the Bible says, this is the word of God about quick money, quick gain. So, and the final thing is that I should not indulge in it. I'm not going to call you on how it happened. I am not even interested. What am I saying? Thy will be done on earth. What is the will of God? I must hate quick gain. That's what I'm telling. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That the will of God is that which God has established, and by prayer we bring it into existence in our own lives. When pastors bring people to start telling you how to take care of the environment and put fear in your heart, they are not establishing the will of God. It's unfortunate, even these diet fads, we now Christianize it. One that was running one time, they call it what? Hallelujah diet. Listen, when I say this, sometimes it appears like I'm joking, but today I want to say it, and I'm not joking about it. That word is an insult to the name Hallelujah. That phrase. Because the diet is not Hallelujah anything. Hallelujah means what? Praise the Lord. That is, let my food praise the Lord. Let my eating praise the Lord. But when you now say, I must not eat food that is cooked before 1 o'clock, how does that praise the Lord? How does it praise the Lord? When the Bible says, I should receive everything with thanksgiving, how does this praise the Lord? But they put Hallelujah inside it, and Christians get fooled into participating in what Derek Prince calls, and I agree with him, doctrines of demons. Please follow what I'm going to say. I'm going to establish something that we often focus on what the world presents to us. They repeat it again and again and again and again and again and again. We buy it. And then, see, one major thing is that time is limited. What I mean is this. You have 24 hours in a day. The time you are focused on something, there's what they call opportunity cost in economics. It's the time you are not focused on another thing. So what the world does is that it gives us something to occupy us so much that we don't have the time to focus on the will of God so that it can be converted into reality in our lives. Are you getting my point? The word of God is reality. The word of God framed what we are seeing. And for the next thing he wants to do to happen, he says we should focus on that word and pray it into existence. That's what I'm talking about. But Satan tries to distract us. That's the aim of Satan. Cause distraction so that the people cannot focus on that which God wants to do. They are so focused on saving water from finishing. So every day they are planning what to eat and not to eat so as to contribute their own quota in saving fresh water. So madam goes to market now. Doesn't talk to the beef man anymore. Why? Your beef is drinking water. And it's depleting fresh water in the environment. Very soon, ozone layer will join it and finish. Don't ask me how they connect. They will soon connect it. That's the way it works. Now, what am I going to explain? In that process, the people have lost the time, the opportunity to download the will of God into the earth. You are getting my point? Talk about this long life matter. Please listen to this. I'm very serious about it. Every day, people talk about how to take care of your health. Very few times do you see even churches, they will organize, health programs, health experts will come and preach in church. I told you once, I was listening to radio, and I heard the Reverend Sister say, she was in a team that was educating the populace about glaucoma. And I said, preach glaucoma the way she will preach the word of God. That was her statement. She said that because she's a religious person. That's why I pointed out to that she's a reverend sister. She said, preach glaucoma the way you preach the word of God. Because she has a background of the word of God. She has been so overwhelmed by glaucoma talk that she's now telling people, preach the glaucoma like you preach the word of God. If you are God, is that not an insult? Preach the work of the devil the way you preach the word of God. Preach the work of the enemy the way you preach the word of God. Doesn't make any sense. But she was not a wicked person. She had just been so overtaken by it. So every day you buy a newspaper, you hear today's World Diabetes Day. Yes. World Glaucoma Day. World Dementia Day. No, all of these things exist. The last one I saw was the World Osteoporosis Day. There's World Tuberculosis Day. Yes. World Nadicris Day. I'm telling you, everybody's crazy day. I'm telling you the truth. Now, and of course, they have good intentions. Don't get me wrong. They have good intentions. What is the idea? Get people aware. Early detection. Prevention. As good as it is, like they say, the good is the enemy of the best. You know that? As good as it seems, you focus in the faces of the children of God on diabetes, on glaucoma, on heart disease, on hypertension, on osteoporosis. They think the whole earth is about those things. And listen to me, no matter how much you try to prevent it, the fact is that you tend to bring into reality what you are focused upon. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin once. I think I've told this story not too many times here. A man, his wife was going to divorce him. In fact, she had made up her mind to divorce the man. This is an American. But just agreed that because he said he was going to see Kenneth Hagin, she agreed to come with him before she would go through with the divorce. Why? Twice, they had caught him molesting young girls, children. And this man is about 60. All right? And it happened a number of times. Twice they caught him. We don't know the number of times that they wasn't caught. And the things were getting worse. And the wife had noticed. And the wife wanted, you know, that's why she was tired and she was going to leave him. All right? But she now agreed to come and see the preacher. Now, you see why I'm talking about it. Kenegan said to him instantly that you have two demons in you. And you see, there are people that tell you people have demons and you just brush it aside. All right? There are people that always seen demons. If your door doesn't open, they say, the demon that said this door should not open. Right now, we command you. Say, Oga, take a key, turn it properly. The demon will leave. All this commanding demon of door. Let's leave that in. All right? The demon that said your car should jam, you didn't learn how to drive properly. Go and learn it. The demon will leave your car alone. I'm not talking about that. But there are men that they don't say such things lightly. He said, instantly he had a word of knowledge. In that descending of spirits, he knew this man had two demons in him. And there were the things, the spirits driving him to do those things. And I don't know whether the wife said it or he said it himself, or the man told him that. What's going to happen is that one day you are going to end up killing one of those girls and they are going to catch you. I mean, the man himself said it, that he knows that one day he will kill one of the girls. They will catch him. They will sentence him to death. He knew it was going to happen. That's why he became desperate and came for help. And Kenegan just said to him simply, listen, you have two demons. I could cast them out and they will leave, but I will not. The man said, why? He said, because if I do, they leave. As soon as you leave here, they are going to come back. And by a man, for a man who has the experience, he knows they come back worse. Yeah. The Bible says they bring seven spirits more wicked than themselves. So he said, I'm not going to cast the spirits out because it's going to be worse for you. Now, you see where I'm going. So what are we going to do? He said, I only cast the demons out on one condition, that you will do exactly what I'm about to tell you. Now listen to this. How did the demons go? Okay, he said, first, he told the man was a professor, or he had a PhD in psychology. He was an expert in criminal minds, especially in those sexual criminals. So Kenegan told him, I'm talking about what you focus on. The man never wanted to do that evil. But he read the book so much, he opened the door to the devil. So Hagin told him, the first thing you are going to do, you are going to collect all your psychology books, all your criminal mind books, all your PhD books. First thing you do, you burn them. That's where the demons came from. That's what I'm telling the whole story. So the man went back. The man agreed. He said, number two, you will study the word of God a certain amount of time on a weekly. He gave him a prescription for scripture. You meditate on God's word. The man gave his life to Christ then. He prayed for him that the man would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the man went back home, burnt the books, and continued to focus on God's word. He saw the man again years later. The man was looking fine. His marriage had become stronger. All the demons of God. Oh, I forgot to mention that when the man agreed to that, he prayed there. And he commanded the evil spirits to come out of the man, and they left. And the man became normal. He said he saw him next a few years after, he was still perfectly normal. Why am I talking about it? Who would have thought? He was a psychologist so he could help people. He was a psychologist so he could understand criminal minds. Yet, in focusing on those things, the spirits came into him, and he began to operate the very things he was reading. Let me tell you something there. There are things the Bible doesn't command against. From experience, we will tell you,
Don't go near. Let me tell you, young men and women, disappear from pornography. That is this. You know what they call disappear? Vanish. You know, people want to resist certain temptation. You know, I've said, I don't know what, okay, what's Marco that I was teaching. Some people want to resist temptation. They are resisting it late. Why? They are resisting the fruit of a temptation they fell for last month. It's a seed that's been planted. When a man has said that, I will not carry Ashewo, you will carry Ashewo. You don't, because you know, listen, these things are spirits. I told you the story about a man of God who, because he wanted money, he went to go and join those who use familiar spirits to give word of knowledge. You come to them, they start seeing visions for you. Oh, yesterday you were doing this, familiar spirit. And those who don't know, they are impressed. Of course, he had a lot of money. I am not kidding about it. See, all these big posters, you see prophets all over town. 9 out of 10 of them operate familiar spirits. There's one young one I see around in Enugu. I say, this boy, obviously, you are using familiar spirits. Because you don't just come out of nowhere. Yeah. Who knows you? Nobody. And when I hear the arrogance with which he behaves, this guy doesn't have the spirit of God. You don't need anybody else to tell you. So no matter which vision he's seeing, get away. We've seen worse things before. People who saw more than you were operating devils. So are you the first? The man I'm telling you about, the person that told me, I said, that guy, he ran to one other pastor for help. Do you know why? He'll go for a program. By the time he's done with preaching, you know, these posters, you say, come. When he's done, he has collected people's 3 cars. You know, when he finished giving word of knowledge, now he collects their cars, things like that. So when he was coming back to his town, he kept a convoy of cars he made, you know what I mean? He make money. He made these cars from the program, Christian program. But that's what I'm talking about it. So there's one thing that happens to him every time. Every time he's done with preaching, that night he always, always sleeps in the hands of a harlot. He can't help it. He finished preaching. An overpowering urge will control him, drive him to the red district of town. He'll pick one of the women, take him back to his hotel room. Where did he get it from? From the love of money. The family, evil spirits don't work by themselves, though. They have friends. They have bodyguards. Because some of these spirits, they can get injured by human beings. So, they come. No, when I say this, you laugh. But you know it's in the Bible. Jesus says something. You drive out the spirit. When it's coming back, for security reasons, he brings evil spirits more wicked than himself. It's for security. When they cast him out last time, he said, man, those guys were powerful. So I'm going to go with 7 of my friends, making me more difficult to cast out. So this is a spirit. I'm talking about something. When I talk about pornography, you keep away. Do you know why? The Bible didn't say don't. But we know that it's a door opener.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It opens doors. It turns a decent man into a serial adulterer. I'll be arguing with you. What did the Bible say? Don't be stupid. Everything you do with your life is opening a door to a spirit. Every single thing, every association, every book you read, every kind of music you put over in your earphones and you sleep with is opening a door to a kind of spirit of different grades and magnitudes. Some of them are small, small spirits of, we will worry you, will become hypertensive. Some of them are small, small spirits, good ones now, of will calm your spirit down in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. Just by putting, Nathaniel Basiabi? Yeah, he just sings for you as you go to sleep. He's letting, small, small spirits, don't realize it, but they are good spirits. Angels are hanging around you. They are fanning you to sleep. They are fanning you to sleep. All the troubles that used to disturb you, they don't disturb you anymore. When you want to think of your troubles, you think of the goodness of God. Do you get my point? Then when you now come, don't you now? You now pick, let me, now you talk Davido, not me, you know, because I never listened to him. I don't know what he's saying. But Apostle Kim, they say, you now put Davido. Okay. What, is it P square? Touch me, I touch you. Man, I know they vex. Now, so married man, they go for a road. Woman go touch you, no go vex. You have been primed not to vex. Are you getting my point? They open spirits. That's how it is. They open small, small spirits. They open doors. Believe me, many of these, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat this. People focus on it and say, this is a source of health. Listen to me. They open doors for the spirits of infirmity. I am not kidding.
I mean that literally as I said it. There's what is called anorexia nervosa. Many of us may have heard of it. Sometimes girls, common in girls, of course, they develop it usually when they want to slim down and become very slim and start looking like Agbani. That's the last person where I know Agbani direct go of those days. Medicine will have an explanation. They say it's a psychological condition. I saw a man who said it's a problem with selenium, concentration in the body, all kinds of things. But a lot of times, it's pure demons. Demons that entered because they went into a particular diet fad, with Derek Prince called Doctrines of Demons. And that's why it's been, and I told you earlier, it has not been shown that people live longer for following all those fads. Everything you do in life, listen to me, is introducing a spirit. So when you want to start something, ask yourself, which spirit is it introducing? No, if you don't know, go and find out. You have a new friend. You guys are hanging out together. After a while, you that didn't used to complain before, then suddenly, this country is useless, this country is bad. What is the head of state doing? He should resign. Eh? What is going on here? You want to kill some? You will know when somebody has acquired a new friend. If you see me now, sit down now and start arguing over whether Liverpool should have scored that goal. What was Manchester City doing when is it United or disunited? The other day I was listening to news. They said, should Arsene Wenger go? And like, how does it concern me? One day somebody sent me a joke. That Arsene Wenger said, I will leave when Robert Mugabe retires from being head of state. Robert Mugabe said, I will retire from head of stateship when Arsene Wenger goes. So I didn't understand the joke. I had to ask somebody, what is wrong with the two of them? Why are they quarreling over who goes, who does not go? Now, if suddenly you see me sit down like that, and start arguing, you know, oh, Pastor, do you have a new friend? Did somebody pay for a complete bouquet of DSTV for you and you feel you must get value for money? You know something different happened in my life. No, it doesn't just come out of the blues. A relationship changed. Something changed. That's what I'm saying. Anything you want to get involved in, ask yourself, what is this one introducing into my body? They introduce a spirit. They always do. They always do. They always do. I went to that and explained something that sometimes what people think they're trying to prevent. It's actually the door by which they allow spirits. Listen, spirits are always looking for doors. They can't just, the earth is interesting. There's a way spiritual things are. They can't just leave where they are and just come down to another place. They must have a door. Somebody must open a door for them. That's why you hear Jesus teach about doors. You know, he will tell you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There has to be a way. Somebody has to create something. He will tell you that I'm the door to the sheepfold. He will explain those things to you. Spiritual, that's how they are. They always look for doors. They always look for doors. They always look for doors. And of course, they will never tell you I'm a door for evil. They always come disguised as an angel of what? Of light. So they will say, let us help you with your health. And they take your eyes away from the source of life, the word of God, and they focus on your diet. When they are done, they have introduced a spirit of infirmity. Suddenly, you lose appetite, you develop anorexia nervosa. Food is, you will hate food. You can't eat with thanksgiving. You develop ulcers. And where did it begin from? It began from the time you thought your food was the source of life. Now I'll be going around, they say you're a calorie counter. I know that calorie counting, the people don't know. Human beings are claiming things into their lives. It's only been shown to prolong life in rats. Are you a rat? These are experiments done over 2-3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, published, that rats that are fed minimal amount of food live longer than rats that are not fed, that are fed too much food. For that reason, human beings say, hey, calorie counting must prolong life. Are you a rat? Are you a rat? Did you hear that God breathed into the nose of Tom and Jerry, and which one of them is a rat again? I don't know whether it's Tom or the Jerry. Jerry, and Jerry became a living soul. Ever heard of that? God said to the earth, bring forth Jerry. And Jerry came out of the earth. That was it. When he came to a human being, he formed and breathed into him the breath of life. And that man became a living soul. What's powering your life is not what is powering Jerry's life. Experiment done on rats is not the same as yours. That's a matter of fact. What is prayer? That's what we're talking about. Prayer is when we take what God, you know, that's what we're talking about for some time. We're talking about effective prayer. Prayer is when we focus on what God said, and then we bring those things into life with our words. That's why he said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded, written in heaven. That which you have proposed. Last time I explained that prayer is not a matter of my desire. Prayer is that what God has determined, I will bring to the earth with my words, incorporating with him. Prayer is not my desire, no. There is nothing that I may, that, no, let me like this. There's nothing that is good for me. There is no solution that is necessary for my situation that God has not yet written. There's none. What is prayer? It's for me to go into his word, discover that situation, that solution, and turn it to my song. We've been establishing that there are two things that constitutes prayer, most importantly. One, declaring God's will, like we're talking about now. And two, putting his name over everything. That's what it is. Last time I began to speak about the book of the Psalms. You know, just as I was just using the book of the Psalms, like trying to use it to explain that Israel had five books, which were their prayer books. And that's what we call the book of Psalms now. It's actually five books. They are their prayer books. Inside those books, you will see things that God has spoken concerning you, concerning me. Let me give you a very simple example. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 23. Now, before, when we hear things like, when we pray according to his will, he hears us. People say, how do you know? Let me just talk about that briefly. People say, how do you know whether this thing you're asking for is the will of God? This is the interesting part. John that wrote that for us in 1 John chapter 5, he expected that we will know what the will of God is. When Jesus said, pray, thy will be done, he did not mean it as a nebulous prayer, you know, and a blank check for God to do or for anything that wants to happen, so that when something has happened, we will say it must be the will of God. That was not what he meant. I read an article once. Somebody was a woman who was a journalist. Oh, yes, it was a journalist. I don't know whether she's alive now or not. But she was researching what she called faith healers. Of course, with a negative mindset. Trying to show that they are not genuine. And one day she woke up with a pain in her stomach. She went to hospital and discovered that she had one of those dangerous cancers. Cancer in what we call a cholangiocarcinoma. Cancer in her gallbladder. Just part of, attached to the liver. And again, incurable. And while she was getting ready to die, you know, she started writing again. And the person who posted it comes from a church where they believe this will of God kind of thing, you know, just open will of God. And tried to see how she graciously accepted the will of God for her life. So I asked a question. It's a religious, well, there's a chat group that one of my friends put me in, and they have it has a religious theme to it, okay? But I find myself inside it, and I contribute once in a while. So I asked a question to the person who posted it. I said, who said her gallbladder cancer is the will of God? So he said, well, somebody forwarded it to him. So he forwarded my query back to the person. And the person sent one long explanation. I still have it somewhere there. On how as children of God, as Christians, what happens, we should just know that our lives is in God's hands. And blah, 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 which I also believe. You have to know what people are saying before you agree with everything. Why even if he's saying it? I said, wait. Now, because most people in that chat group are devout Catholics, I won't be surprised if I'm the only one that's not there. So I appealed to the Catholic mind. I said, we all say the Lord's Prayer. I said, if the will of God was done automatically in our lives, why did the Lord say we should pray about it? That was my first question. I said, the woman said it's the will of God. How did she know? When Jesus came to Israel, were there not many sick people? Why did he not just accept it's the will of God? Why did he go around healing them? Why was he delivering all? Like Paul, the book of Acts tells us, Peter was speaking. You've heard of Jesus. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around healing, doing good. He went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because God was with him. Why didn't he say, all of you are under the influence of the will of God? Relax. I didn't come preaching faith, the Pentecostal style. No. I just asked questions. I said, the least this woman could have done is to go to God and ask for healing. And let God say no if he wants to say no. But she has settled down now and said, whatever comes into my life is the will of God. I said, no, if the will of God was done automatically, it would not have been a prayer point. It's not done automatically, that's why it's a prayer point. When John wrote and said, this is the confidence we have towards him, when we ask according to his will, he hears us. He expected that we knew his will. When Jesus said, pray, thy will be done, he expected that the people will know his will. So what is his will? His will is not just, listen, as I was praying, I just knew that God wanted me to have it. Believe me, if I love a Mercedes-Benz, the new S380, and I have the money to buy it, if I pray long enough, God will want me to have it. Did you catch that?
Yes,
even Balaam, when he wanted to go, God told him to go. Believe me. If that car, God said he doesn't want me to have it, 9 times out of 10, you don't have money. When God doesn't want you to have it, he collects the money from you. Because he knows his children, they will make him say yes. They will not testify. In the name of brethren, rejoice with me. On the second day as I was praying, some demons now came to me and wanted to distract me from buying the car of my dreams. And I began to reject them. And God, now God said, okay, this boy is rejecting me. You call it demon because God left you alone. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. It is not what you feel inside you when you are praying that lets you know is the will of God. When they asked the brother, why are you making this decision? He said, the way the thing came. How did it come? It was just so easy and all of that. I said, oh boy, if you were single, you are going on the road. And one of these girls that hang around here at night, say, oh boy, see as you find, marry me. Do you know how easy it is to find a wife? Is that not easy? You go agree? Will you tell me the way she just came? All of this one, the way he just came, forget all of those things. Look, please, next week our book should be out. Guided by the Spirit. That's what I wrote in that book. I want Christians to understand. It's not how you feel inside your stomach. Stomach feelings, believe me, so unreliable. I can't remember God telling me not to eat a nice piece of chocolate cake with brandy. He always tells me to eat it. If I pray about the Lord, we'll say, arise, Banky. Give thanks and consume. For how would the Holy Spirit tell you not to eat that thing? It's hard. In fact, you know how to stop the Holy Spirit. You just collect the food. Father, we'll take in Jesus' name before you can talk. Once you give thanks, the Holy Spirit will say, okay, next time. So the will of God is not all of this, how we feel, how we don't feel. Believe me. The will of God is written, and it is revealed through the words of his prophets. And the word of God is alive. What am I going to say? What is the will of God concerning my finances? It is simple. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is the will of God. What is the will of God concerning my finances? He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. That's the will of God. The will of God does not discuss whether it's 1.5 million, 5 million, 10,000. It doesn't discuss that. The word goes out and decides that without discussing with me. My own portion is, this is the will of God. He makes all grace abound towards me. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the will of God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That's the will of God. So John said, if I pray according to his will. And that's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's simple. They expected us to know the will of God. So Jesus said, keep on abiding in me. How do we realize that? By my word constantly being filled into you. By sitting down here this evening, you are discovering the will of God. So I said, concerning that woman, she should have just simply taken the scriptures and discovered what God said. And that woman, very, very foolish in her reasoning. Do you know why? She said that, I know they will say this occurred to me because I was following around and criticizing faith healers. And I felt like telling her, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Let me tell you something, people of God, listen to this. What I'm about to tell you, very, very careful. It came to my mind yesterday. This morning, I was meditating. I said, listen, what I want to say is very frightening. If you want to be cursed in life, just turn your back on the word of God. It sounds simple, right? But it's frightening. If you ever deliberately make a choice that requires you to turn your back on God's word to make that choice, you are in deeper trouble than you have the ability to conceive. So if that ever comes to your mind, get back home and say, God, I'm sorry. Because God is very merciful. He's very merciful. Say, Lord, I made that choice. I was consciously aware of what your word said, but I did this like this. I beg, Lord. You know why? Because it has not passed away. No. It hasn't gone away. The consequences are lined up like mighty in front. Honestly, I thought about it this morning. My wife and I will be talking and say, listen, okay? One thing that sometimes I think about it, I get afraid. No, small cold will catch me. It's for God to say that on the last day, the judgment day for believers, not hellfire one, but judgment seat of Christ. Now say, Banky, didn't do this. I said, Lord, I didn't think that was necessary. And he now says, but I told you. That's what scares me. That, but I told you. So Christian, I said, Lord, is there anything that there's a but in you're telling me? Let me be sure. No, really. If I don't know he's bad enough, he has his own problem. But for him to say, but I told you. That woman that was talking, she didn't understand what the Bible calls sinning against the Holy Spirit. Going around trying to prove the Holy Spirit doesn't know what he's doing. And you're now saying that, I know they will say that it is because. I felt like saying, oh girl, yes. And if you want healing, swallow your pride. Go to one of those men that you were following around trying to prove. All right? Trying to prove that healing is not for today. Go to them and say, sir, first, I am so sorry. Now, ignorance. Lay your hands on me and I shall be healed. When he lays his hands on you, believe me, that cancer is a spirit. It's not an accident. It's not nothing going somewhere and one day just going about nowhere and then boom, it exploded and your cells began to multiply recklessly and then you had liver cancer. No, it's a spirit. It can be cast away. There is nothing in the human flesh that's not powered by spiritual forces. You are sitting out here, you are healthy. I'm standing here, I'm talking. It is because the Lord Jesus is sustaining you and I by the word of his power. You know what the Bible says? When he withdraws his spirit, they expire. That's how it is. When you hear cancer is growing, a spirit has to be put in there. A spirit has to be put in there for it to continue growing. When it is withdrawn, the thing shrivels and dies. It does. When science, medicine, when they've studied and studied, they think they understand everything. I've read all of those things. One question they can never answer is why. They will tell you there is a mutation on chromosome 14 that affects this particular molecule that controls cell growth and differentiation so that, believe me, I teach this to medical students. I tell them all of us were in this confusion together. So let us start. No. I always tell them now. I tell them, look, I do all this is, believe me, people, it's like that in the books. In real life, forget it. If you are sick, better go and pray. Forget this DNA thing. No, ask the people who have thought. I tell them, hey, guys, they will analyze it for you. I know all the analysis. But one question they never answer is, why? Why? These molecules are so tiny, they behave as if they have sense. Honestly. I mean, these are things we have studied. When I bring something, somebody says, an act, you will just see that somebody planned this thing. This is planned. But they now teach you that a mutation is spontaneous. I said, what is spontaneous about this thing? In fact, you will know that the good Lord, he put so many machinery inside the place to make sure it doesn't happen. So when it happens, the Lord Jesus said, an enemy has done this. Let's, you know, medicine can never find out why. They always find out how. Do you understand? What happened? But why did it happen? There's no answer. The truth is that the why is a spirit. It's a spirit. Everything we decipher in the laboratory, everything you find in life, are the methods by which spirits show their effect. Is the method by which they show their effect. And until God shows mercy in curing some diseases, if you know the billions and billions of dollars that have been spent on looking for a cure for cancer, you will feel sorry for cancer. Find the cure now. For where? Find the cure now. Why? Because it is spirits that power these things. In scripture, he said the Lord, when he withdraws his spirit, they expire. It's a spiritual principle. In the same manner, he said cancer is moving on, but if you withdraw that spirit, pushing it, it expires. That's why, look, read a man like Kenneth Hagin a lot. Because it's one person I've seen God minister like that through. Many times I want to pray for somebody, you just see the person. Just a little demon sitting on a particular side of the person's body. This person, come. He can see the demon, others can't see, the person can't see it. Then he attacks the demon in the realm of the spirit, drives the demon out. Only to be told later, the fellow had cancer in that area. Next day he goes to the hospital, he's cured. He drove out an evil spirit. He saw it. By descending of the spirit, he could see it. But you know, the doctors can have all kinds of things. We can analyze the molecules and show you this receptor, this one, these signals. The spirit says, I am the force. Jesus said like that now. Every time God does something good and it's bad, he says, an enemy has done this. Believe me, that woman should have gone. They would have prayed for her. That spirit would have run away. And that thing that was moving was suddenly involute. And they will now, of course, nobody talks about it. Even they want to talk about the medical world, they will not tell us he went to pray. She went to pray. What am I going to say? I brought down to, look, people, listen. The will of God, that's where I'm going. The woman said, what happened to me is the will of God. No, it's the judgment of God I know. It's the decree of the Almighty we know. But God's will and God's decree or judgment are two different things. His will is what he wants. And he says, this is prayer. Prayer is that you take my will. Learn my will. First of all, learn it. Let my words abide in you. Learn my will. Then put that will upon your lips. And then make it your prayer. That's how it works. So concerning health, like I said last time, jogging, is it good? Well, the truth scientifically that it has not been proven to elongate anybody's life. If you like jogging, jog. It doesn't prolong your life. That's a matter. What I've told is a matter of fact. We said last time that Joshua can fight. Joshua can win wars, but only if the hands of Moses are raised up with the staff of God or the rod of God in his hands. What is Joshua? Joshua are the physical efforts, the physical things we can see to explain the results we are getting. For example, 7 keys for effective entrepreneurship. That's Joshua. Learn how to employ the right staff. And then you say that it is clear you have never tried to employ staff. Those who have tried, they know there is no how. It is a gift of God. Most people who do all these keys to effective business performance, they don't do business. Dangote doesn't have time to teach anybody. Do you know why? He himself does not know how. That's the Bible. I told you that one of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time, Steve Jobs, he said nobody can connect the dots going forward. That will only connect these dots looking backwards. So when you start out, you are not sure how things will turn out. He said, just believe in something. He said, call it luck. Call it karma. Call it whatever you like. Just believe in something. But as per guarantee, what you are doing will work out. He said, bros, forget it. Yeah, this was a man who built Apple to a level that at a time before he died, he had $100 billion in cash in the bank. Till today, the world's most capitalized company, exchanging with Alphabet Company once in a while. Alphabet is the parent company of Google. What is Joshua? Joshua is, I know how to do it. I can get up in the morning. I know how to execute my business. I have the degrees. BSc Hans. BSc with honors. University of Nigeria. MSc with distinction. University of Michigan. MBA. Cambridge. All of that is what? Joshua. That's Joshua. If Moses drops his hands for one moment, BSc Hans. MSc with distinction. Everything will fail before your eyes. So we understand, for us to succeed, the hands of Moses must be lifted up. What are the hands of Moses? Our mouth. What is the staff of God, the rod of God in his hands? The word of God. And the Bible says he sustains all things by the word of his power. So what is our prayer? What is prayer for us? Is to take that will and constantly utter it. Thy will be done. We know the will. It's not a nebulous thing. Knowing the will doesn't mean that I know tomorrow the sun is going to shine and then there will be no rain and I know my customers will come. That's why I tell you, look, all this confession. People say, write your confession like this. But in 1 week, I'm going to have 10,000 customers. I have listened to all of those things. I don't believe a word of them. Never confess anything God did not say. If you are confessing what God did not say, you have left the area of spirituality into spiritualism. You are beginning to practice manipulation. You are becoming a witch. Witchcraft is starting, I'm telling you. What is your confession? Like I said, you go to your business as an example. It's not, this week, I confess that I have 10,000 customers. Don't worry. Sometimes you don't need 10,000 customers. Sometimes 10,000 customers are a problem. Like Warren Buffett will say, you don't need all your businesses to do well. You need one. That's Warren Buffett, who has been the world's richest man a number of times and is almost amongst the top four. So what, 10,000 customers, don't need confession on that. Because you said that because you're hoping that each customer will give you this amount of profit. There are customers that come, one, and they change your life. And the world knows which one to bring. So when you get to your business, what is your declaration? I am fruitful and I multiply. I fill the earth, I subdue it. I have dominion in the name of Jesus. Why? It is written. When you want to make a confession that is based upon what is written. So you can open your mouth and say, it is written. If you cannot say it is written, don't form your confession with it. It must be something that is written. That is the will that they said we should pray in the Bible. When he said, thy will be done, that's what it means. What about the fine details? That is settled by Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12. He said, for the word of God is alive and active. What does it mean of being alive? It means it can think. The word can close a door, it can open it. The word can drive away bad stuff, it can bring in good stuff. The word knows what you don't know. The word is alive and it thinks, it plans. The word can say, for me to be fulfilled in the life of this child of God, I need a bird of prey from the east. I need a man of God's purpose from a distant country. The man cannot even call the man because he does not know he exists. So the child of God comes and declares over his endeavor. Say, I am fruitful. I multiply. I fill the earth. I subdue it. I have dominion. It is my season of multiplication in the name of Jesus. In all that I do, I prosper. The Lord makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I am what I am by the grace of God. Favor is with me. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. That's the word. And the word said, let me establish these things that has been spoken by this young man, by this young woman. So the word now says, for us to fulfill this area, we need an investor that's bringing in $5 million. And he does not know he needs it.
deep inside his heart, he said, Lord, if you can just get that kind of 500,000 naira now, we'll move to another level. And one day a man comes and says, listen, I see you've been doing this thing for a very long time. You look ahead that you are skilled in this. Why don't you take this to another level? I put in $5 million. I take 40%, you take 60. And you're looking like, are you talking to me? One day, one of my friends, I don't know, just to illustrate what I'm talking about, one of my friends once, you know, I carry my friend's wife. She's an architect. So designed, you know, the way you do things for family people, and then they're man, no man now. So this was an uncle. So uncle said, please, let me design a house. He was just saying, no, this was years ago. So this one that I'm always doing work for uncle. Uncle would drop something this time. Told the husband, say, look, at least uncle should give me 30,000. What is it? She was raking in the house, and then go here. He now went to go and deliver the job in Port Harcourt to Uncle So. Uncle So, these are your drawings, everything, these are this. Says, Uncle, I want to find something for me. You know, that kind of thing. Uncle said, No, Uncle, just something now. So Uncle just look. The guy just brought out a check. I said, I'm writing 300,000, is it okay? She froze. I'm not kidding, she froze. He said, if it's not enough, let me know. Now she look at her husband. This was somebody raking in Enugu. Say, if this man were alive, not give me 30,000. I know go release this drawing. So. Not today. The story I'm telling you is not. It's like 13 years ago. He said, she started stammering. Couldn't talk. So the husband took her to say, okay. And he just sit down and say, Uncle, no, you're just in anything you like, add to it. Now Uncle just said, let me just add 30,000. He just wrote the check for 330,000. Tore it and gave. You know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Honestly, I'm not kidding. When he told me, I said, wow, that she was so confused, she couldn't answer. Stammering. You see why you don't go to God and say, in Jesus' name, this is the amount I want. God say, relax. I come to the vice president, Farabale. Are you getting my point? Relax. The word can think. And is able, literally, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or even what? Imagine. So many of your prayer points are based on your imaginations. Drop them. When you want to pray, pray the word. Pray the name of God. Pray the word. Pray the name of God. Stop focusing on what you can think. Pray the word. You need money, don't go there and say, Lord, I need money. Go there and say, Lord, this is what you said. Behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Be done in my life, in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. John said, if you pray like that, you can be sure he heard you. That's how we pray the will of God. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Since, you know, last time we spoke about health, you know, because we finished talking about finances, these are examples we use at the end. Let's just declare the word of God. Let's pray the will of God concerning finances. Let me start by saying that let nobody, listen, people sometimes they miss definitions. For us believers, what the world calls wealth is not what we call wealth. It's not. Wealth for us is not show off. It's not who has the bigger boat, who has the biggest house. That's not wealth. For us, wealth is the ability to bless somebody, ability to help. Ability to execute the will of God, that's what wealth is. It's our creation that we add to the environment. That's what wealth is. Let's get it clear. We are not covetous. We are not praying about the... Look, God wants all our needs met. Somebody say amen. God doesn't like embarrassment. I'm being honest. He doesn't want you to go to your children's school and be begging them that, please, before the term is over, you will bring the school fees. It's not holiness. I'm not kidding. He's not holiness. He would rather you keep them at home, be teaching them yourself, than going every day to be saying, please, before the term is over.
No, let's get this. No, some things are not, they are not signs of holiness. You can soak Gary, amen, if you like it. But God doesn't like you to be compelled to soak it because of poverty. He doesn't like that. That's a matter of fact. Let's get some things clear. I can wear only one shirt and go to heaven. You know that?
Yes.
But if I wear 10, I'll still go to heaven. Are we clear? He said, what do I do with 10 shirts? Because if 9 people come naked, I have something to share. When I have one, I'll be laying unnecessary hands. Because of shirts. Say, are you naked too? Come. Are you naked? Come forward. Amen. Halako heke naked to go back and tika. What is prayer? Just open wardrobe. Boy, where this one go? Let's pray real prayer. Are you getting my point? When you see sickness that doesn't have cure, let's use the faith for it.
Yes, sir.
I should be using faith to wear cloth. Let's get it clear. Some things are not holiness. They do not constitute righteousness. As a matter of fact, poverty is a curse. Don't make excuses for it. Let me quickly add this one to you. You have been delivered from the curse. Say amen.
Amen.
I'll listen to Derek Prince and he emphasized that we are being saved. What I was trying to say is that this. What God has done for you is working out in your life.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Listen to me. Today. Somebody say today.
Today.
Is the poorest day of your life.
Amen.
Today. It's the poorest day. That is, tomorrow, you are richer than today.
Amen.
The path of the just is like the light of dawn. In your life, you are shining brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Let's get that one clear. Let's get it clear. Now, let's begin to declare God's word. Let's start from what Jesus did for us. It's very important. You see, everything must be Christ-centered. Prosperity is not because you labor hard. It is because Jesus died for it. Prosperity is not because of the country you are born in. It is because of the heaven you came from. You are getting what I'm saying? Prosperity is not because of what you know how to do. It is because of the grace that is upon you. Paul said, "I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am." The foundation for prosperity. He said, it is the Lord thy God that is giving you the power to create wealth, to produce wealth, that he might fulfill the covenant that he made with your fathers. It's not the one you make. You know, Christian said, I want to make a covenant with God. Stop that nonsense. It's the one that he made with your fathers. In this particular situation, concerning Jesus, was spoken, he said, I and the children that the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. That is Jesus that made this covenant. And he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was rich. Yet, for your sake, for my sake, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. That is as literal as it goes.
Yes, sir.
Let's give the Lord thanks. In your own words, thank him.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Being a Nigerian does not mean you are inferior to the man that's a Briton. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo will say those days. He said, lack, he said, black is not the same thing as lack. Thank God for it. The curse of Noah has been broken in your life.
Amen.
It has been broken. Noah said, curse be Canaan. And he was speaking to Put, Mizraim, and Cush also. He said, a servant of servants they will be. But that has been broken in Christ. You are no longer a servant of servants. You are no longer a servant of... Thank God for that. That, Lord, I thank you because I am no longer a servant of servants. Wherever I am, I prosper. I'm a blessing to my environment. The ability to bless is inside me. The ability to bless is inside me. The ability to bless, the grace of God is inside me. I'm a blessing. I've been blessed. Say it in the name of Jesus. I've been blessed. And Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you for it. I'm not cursed. There's no ancestral curse. Walking in your life. There's none. It's been broken. Don't let anybody lie to you. There's no ancestral curse walking in your life. Say, I've had problems. Who doesn't have problems? Even Jesus had problems. Judas in your team is a problem. Your brothers or sisters don't believe in you. That's a problem. So anybody can have problems. That's not what we're talking about. Many problems are because of the assignment God has sent you to go and fulfill. But you are not cursed. That's the point. Just declare after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I give thanks.
I give thanks to the Father.
Because he has delivered me. Out of darkness into light.
Out of the curse into the blessing.
Say right now.
I am free.
The Son has set me free.
I am free indeed.
I'm free from ancestral curses.
I'm free from the curse of Noah.
For those who don't know it, I'll just summarize it in a minute. What we call the curse of Noah, if we've been studying here, is simple. If you look all over the world, the poorest countries are African countries. They are run by black people everywhere. If you remove them from Africa, put them in Caribbean islands, they are still poor. Haiti is one of the poorest countries on this earth, rivaled only by places like Yemen. Yemen is always in war. Haiti without war, they are incredibly poor. Without war. Nobody's fighting. The presidential palace that broke, is it not 2003 or so? How many years ago? That earthquake. I don't know how many, not to the extent, but some years ago. Till now, it has not been repaired. Who will pay? People who lost homes there are still living in shacks till today. That's what I call the curse of Noah. There is a reason for it. In my office today, me and a colleague of mine who likes advanced physics and mathematics were discussing, talking about Hubble Space Telescope and things that scientists have done. And we said to ourselves, oh boy, every white man has a right to discriminate against a black man unless he has read the Bible. Because what his people have achieved, we are still wondering who kept $43 million in an account in a house. You don't know who it is. And you are supposed to be the strongest, richest black country. You can't identify who has $43 million. There is a spiritual reason. That's what we call the curse of Noah. Where did they come from? Noah uttered, he opened his mouth and said something that when I get to heaven, only Jesus will separate the quarrel. And we ask him, Noah, come, sit down here. Why did you say such a thing to a human being? He said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants will he be. Listen, go to India. You will find the Dalits, the untouchable, they are like that. It's a manifestation of the curse of Noah. Go all over the world. That's just the way it is. It's a spiritual principle. If they do caste system, they are at the bottom. When you go to Saudi, see black Saudis, they were slaves. That's all over the world. Where you go, black man is at the bottom. It's a spiritual problem. It's not the white man's fault. Don't think it's the white man's fault. Because the black people are richer now after the white men came. People say that if white man came and looted the continent. Before he looted, what were you doing? He came, he did not meet a story building. You were living in huts. Okay, don't lie to yourself. Just don't lie to yourself. I have a dream. It's because he was born again. If Christ did not reveal himself to Martin Luther's people, he'd be, I have a nightmare. What I've done is a matter of fact. So when we are giving Christ thanks, when we are giving God thanks, that he has delivered from the curse of Noah. It's not a joke. It's the reason. Look, there are principles I have. That is why I don't want to go to any country because of prosperity. Because I feel I have a duty to show everybody that Christ has redeemed my race. Because when God has delivered you, you don't put yourself again under bondage. It's not good. And when Satan wants to put people under bondage, he offers them something. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he found that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, the Bible says he bent his back to bear the burdens and became a slave at forced labor. He's always looking for green pastures that make people slaves. I just feel bad about it, that Jesus will do all this dying for me and I'd send myself back into slavery. No. I was listening to, what do you call him? One of America's billionaires, Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban said, I'd rather earn $50,000 working for myself than $100,000 doing it for somebody else. When he said that, I said, look, this man has a liberty spirit. He said, no, it's not about the money. It's about, let me put it like this, I'm in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
That for me, that's the principle. Don't let anybody be deceiving you. You are not inferior.
Amen.
Don't let life suggest it to you. I've told the history now to let you know what we mean by the curse of Noah. But what we are preaching now, which is a matter of fact, is that Jesus has ended it.
Amen.
I said Jesus has ended it.
Amen.
In your life, Jesus has ended it.
Amen.
So give him thanks again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I
thank you
because the curse of Noah has been broken.
Now I am free.
I'm
free to walk in righteousness.
I'm
free to serve God.
I'm
free to prosper.
I'm
free to be creative.
Say
it again. I'm free to prosper.
I'm
free to prosper. Let me say something to you. The blessing in you is stronger than the environment around you.
Amen.
Yes, that's a matter of fact. So negative environment cannot keep the blessing down.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You see, Abraham had this blessing. Because Abraham had the blessing, that was why he told Lot, choose anywhere. Are you getting my point? So you don't need America to prosper. Your prosperity is not dependent on any country. You don't need England to prosper. Europe does not hold the key to your abundance. If you think these places do, you are begging for slavery. Anywhere you are, you can prosper there.
Amen.
Here, in Nigeria, you will prosper.
Amen.
If it's Ghana, you will prosper.
Amen.
If in Congo, you will prosper.
Amen.
Okay, if the Lord now takes you to America, you will prosper.
Amen.
But your prosperity is not anywhere. It's inside you. I hope you're getting my point. Say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
Because I have abundance inside.
Because I have abundance.
Say, the Spirit of Christ is in me.
The Spirit of Christ is
in me. Giving life to my mortal body. Now, we talk about that normally about health, but it affects your ability to produce. Say, wealth is my portion.
Wealth is my portion.
Say, it is the Lord my God that has given me the power to get wealth.
He is the one that is giving me the power to get wealth.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
poverty is not my portion.
Say, this is the will of God concerning me.
Abundance.
I have life in abundance. My needs are supplied.
He
makes all grace abound towards me.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Lack is not my portion. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Lack is not my portion. Even if the strong men lack,
I will seek the Lord,
and I will not lack anything good.
No,
he was talking about the young lions. That's why he used the word strong men. Those who are connected. Even though they are in poverty, they are in distress, you will not lack anything good.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Declare, say, this is the word of the Lord.
Behold,
I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river.
And the wealth of the nations
like an overflowing stream. Said, that is my portion.
In the name of Jesus.
Said, this is the word of the Lord.
Grace is abounding towards me.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work.
Said, this is the word of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd.
And I do not lack.
Say, lack has been broken.
Poverty has been broken.
I am a blessing.
Say, God supplies all my needs.
According to his riches in glory.
In Christ Jesus.
Say, in Christ Jesus.
Every ancestral curse
has been broken.
Let me say this again. I've said it many times. Does it mean I never have problems?
No.
Sometimes Christians have problems. There are three reasons why Christians may have problems. One, ignorance. There are those who are always making an excuse for poverty. You know why we are poor? It's because of worry. That's an excuse for poverty. They say, no, you know, you don't need to be able to be rich to go to heaven. Neither do you need to be poor to go to heaven. You know, I can go, if I enter a keke, I can get to Lagos. True of us? If I enter a bus, God is good. I can get to Lagos.
Yes.
If I enter Autostar, Sienna, 5 passengers, good vehicle, I can get to Lagos.
Yes.
Okay, if I enter Arik, I can also get to Lagos.
Yes,
okay, why should I choose the Keke when the Arik is here I should come? I don't know whether you're getting my point.
Yes,
the fact that I can get to Lagos all the anyway doesn't mean I should choose the most difficult one. Are you getting my point? If God gives me a choice, believe me, I am not entering Autostar. I'm not entering God is good. Even though God is good, I won't enter the Avenger. I'm telling you, it's a boss. I mean, why should I do that? There are different ways to get to heaven. I prefer that way. Poverty is not the passport to heaven. We know being wealthy is not the passport to heaven. But neither is poverty the passport to heaven. They said the rich are not necessarily happy. As if poverty is the passport for happiness. Joy and happiness is a matter of faith in Christ Jesus. But that faith in Christ Jesus says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Are you getting my point? So let's not make excuses for poverty. We can endure hardship. Let me not forget to say that. We can endure hardship. Things are tough, we'll endure it. We won't run up and down because we're looking for wealth. No, not at all. We won't do that. We will not break the principle of righteousness for anything. But by faith, we download the blessing from heaven. That's all we are saying. Faith downloads the blessings. Abundance is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your children will enjoy abundance.
Amen.
Today is the poorest day of your life.
Amen.
Today is the poorest day of your life.
Amen.
This today, from now, today is the poorest.
Amen.
God will open doors for you.
Amen.
Whatever it is you are doing, men will count it a privilege to have you serve them.
Amen.
Do you get my point?
Yes,
there are 10 people that can do it, but you, they will like your own job.
Amen.
Great doors will open for you.
Amen.
God will bring strangers to help you.
Amen.
Listen, stop begging people. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Stop begging people. This is a sign that you are being blessed. People will start begging you.
Amen.
If you are the one saying, look now, just trust us, invest in our company. We know what we are doing. You don't know what you are doing yet. If you have to be telling people, you know what you are doing. I remember those days, Jim Ibrahim, I was reading his interview. He says, then he said, oh God, take 10 billion. He's telling them, I don't want. Some people will be going marketing, looking for loan. Jim Ibrahim, Zenith called him and said, okay, this 10 billion naira facility, all this one of 25% is for poor people. Ask these people. The rich people don't pay that 25% that they are charging you. You are a high risk, that's why they are charging you 25%. Give them good 25%, he will slap you with his money. People are coming from South Africa, coming from abroad to offer him money. So you think a GT Bank will now go and say 25%? No. Laji go look and say, are you okay? So this one of begging people is a sign you are not blessed yet. So realize you are blessed. So don't go around begging. The little you have, work on it. God will pour grace upon it.
Amen.
That 1,000 naira, with grace, we get results that the 100,000 we are looking for and begging for will have gotten for you.
Amen.
That's it. That's a matter of fact. The time of your blessing manifested, this is how it will be. People will bring the thing to you and say, please take. You'll be the one saying, no, I don't want extra now. Come back later. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes.
But excellence will show from your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a sign of blessed people. They do their things excellently. Grace does not mean I don't know what I did or I just succeeded. No, grace will make you excellent.
Amen.
That's what grace does. No, you build a building to collapse. Say, I still got another job even though my building collapsed. God will sack you from architecture. You will no longer be a builder. Because you can look at this boy disgracing me because grace will make him rich. What kind of rubbish is that? Grace is that they will stop. Say, who did this? He says, you. You? Were you University of Miami? No. All your education in Nigeria? Yes. And you're able to do this? No. This guy, you're our guy. That's what grace does. Grace is not that I'm so stupid yet I got the job. Grace is that I was found 10 times better. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
that is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's give a lot of thanks. Just thank God in your own way. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I'm free. I'm free to serve. I'm free to manifest your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for your word that blesses us all the time. Thank you for that which you have done for us in Christ Jesus. I declare to you that goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This week, doors that were closed before we open for you.
Amen.
Men will come, they will help you.
Amen.
They will help you with righteousness.
Amen.
You will not break the law of God to satisfy anybody.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.